Before we start, we heard that today the president made this a day of prayer for the coronavirus. I know we prayed with the kids a little bit about it, but we just wanted to pray together about that and respond to what the president asked for all the places of worship to do today. So I know they are, yeah. So anyway, let's pray for a second. Just ask the Lord to be with us and help us with this situation in our, not only our nation, but the world. So Lord, we just declare, Lord, that you are the Lord of the earth. It all belongs to you. And Lord, you have also said that you would take whatever Satan meant for evil and turn it around for good, Lord. And as of yet, I haven't heard many stories about how you've turned this around for good, Lord. So we look forward to what you are going to be doing in the midst of this situation, Lord. But Lord, we ask for you, as Paul prayed earlier, that you would come and curse this virus and just pray that you would come and let it dry up now, Lord. Let it be gone in Jesus' name. And Lord, we also declare that the fear that's been in people would go away, Lord, that you would come and touch their hearts and show them the reality of life, that you are the life-giving spirit, Lord Jesus. So Lord, we pray that you would just come and I pray that you would bless all the people in the states that are working on this committee with the vice president, Lord, and we pray that you would bless them, that you would give them wisdom, that you would give them understanding and insight into this virus, Lord, that good information could be communicated to the people, that they would know how to keep themselves safe, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, we just thank you for your goodness, and we just ask in your name that you would just be with us as a congregation, that you would keep us safe, Lord Jesus, that you would put your spirit upon us and all of the people here that have immune systems that are in some level of compromise, Lord, that you would just keep them safe and watch over them. And Lord, you are such a good God, and we just declare that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we are so glad to be back from Mexico. I just have to tell you one quick little story before I let Robin do some pictures for us. There's a woman down there that had a tumor that they took out, and after they took the tumor out with their public health care, they gave them 40 days to tell you if it was cancerous or not, right? So we were amazed with that and kind of, not joking about it, but just amazed about it. So Joy sent us a little thing in the mail the other day about the coronavirus, and that's in Mexico. They have one reported case, but what was written in this thing was the potential coronavirus. I said, the appointment to find out is in September. So we'll please hold, yeah. So there's not many cases in Mexico, but maybe it's because of testing. I don't know. But anyway, we just thought that was hilarious. But okay, Robin's going to share some things, and then I'm going to share a little bit later. And so she has some pictures to go through with us, and I hope you enjoy.
The pictures might be a little bit out of order. We had them in chronological order, but it'll at least help me remember to hit on some highlights from both the churches, the church in San Juan de Abajo, where Joy and Pancho are, and the church in La Puerta de la Lima, where Ricky and Danny and Rosa and Manuel and all that bigger church is up there. But as often happens on these trips, we go with our what we think are, some plans, and we always know God's going to change things. And he did from the very get-go. We were supposed to be in San Juan for A week? I don't remember, hon. A week? Almost two. Anyway, we ended up being there a little bit longer, right? Because Pancho's brother Ramon, the second oldest of the 11 children in Pancho's family, looked like he was going to be dying. And so in this picture, Ramon loves the Lord Jesus, and he's home with Jesus now. Praise the Lord. And but in this picture, he's the one in the wheelchair with the striped shirt with his back to you. And that was like the Sunday before he died. He was the next Monday. No, eight days after this he died. But he was in church that Sunday, and he was happy to be there. And it was just an amazing thing that happened down there with the family, because there were so many people around this man and the immediate family, his brothers and sisters, helping him with his illness and everything. And it was just a privilege to be a part of that and to be with the family and to see all the extended family and their families in one spot and to really get to know everybody better. But we had opportunity to really worship with the family around this man. I'm going to try and find the other pictures. Here he is again. This is actually the day before he died, this picture. And this was a beautiful day of continual worship. There are people in and out. A lot of people in the family are Christians. A lot of them play guitars. And there was always around-the-clock worship going on. And Ramon said that he always felt God's peace when the worship was going on. So it was really a blessing to be able to be a part of that. And then right before he passed away, he was talking with Danny on the phone. And Danny had a big impact in his life, and he was very close to his uncle. And all of a sudden, Rosa said that in the hospital that Ramon raised his arms up in the air suddenly and said, "Danny, I'm going to be with Jesus." And then right after that, he died. So it was just, I just can't even tell you, like, the, yes, praise God, you know, he's dancing on the streets of gold now with two legs and everything. And then, so I just want to show you this picture because you guys all know Pancho. And this is his twin brother, Lupe. And Lupe. And so it was very good. Like I said, the time with the family was like really special for us. And Lupe was the first time in all our years with knowing Pancho's family that Lupe like actually sought me out to have a conversation and stuff. And because we were right there present with his brother who was dying and worshiping and being a part of everything, like you could just see there was like a new acceptance of the family for us and a more openness toward us as Americans to be a part of the family. And so, again, this was all unexpected, and it was all like it really, there are a lot of family members that were there that aren't Christians, and so they saw a lot of love and a lot of things going on that were just such examples to them. And some of them were in church the next Sunday in San Juan when we were up in La Pinita, so that was really awesome. This is a picture of the whole family sits out for, this is just Mexican culture, but the whole family sits out for like 2 days with a tarp, like tents on the street, and they serve sweetbreads and coffee to the guests and stuff like that. And the coffin is there, you see, and that's Rosa, and some worship going on. And so, praise God, you know, it was just an experience we'd never had in Mexico, and to have it with the family was really special. This is a picture of the remaining 10 siblings. So you can see Rosa there and Pancho in the front. And so that's the remaining 10. And so then, let me go back here. So anyway, our first week in San Juan, we were really involved in that, but we did have some events going on at Joy's Church. This was a Friday night Valentine's thing. And we did some fun things with, they did a taste testing thing with, and we had prizes and stuff. It involved, you know, the whole church there. And Wayne had some video that was really funny. But these are just some people from the church in San Juan. This is what their little building looks like. And this family is a new family in the church. Christian is the man's name, and that's his wife and his two kids. And he just returned the first week we were there. He returned back from Cristo Vive, which is a drug rehab, a Christian drug rehab program in another state in Mexico. And he was there for 4 months, and then he came home to his family. And he was really, definitely loves the Lord with all his heart and is passionate about talking to people about Jesus and stuff. And you'll see later in one of the pictures that he got water baptized along with a couple other people from the church. But we had opportunity, Wayne had opportunity to have a long conversation with him with Joy's help with translating, because he had a lot of questions and he's just in a difficult place in his life because he wasn't really at the drug rehab place for as long as most people are. But I think he came home because of having a family and wanting to be with them. So he does continue to need our prayers, he and his family. His wife is Adriana, his daughter's Evelyn, and his son is, I'm blanking. No. So this is up in La Puerta de la Lima, and you can see in the front there, the lady in the chair with her foot up on the chair is Ramona. And Ramona and her husband, Martin, who's now deceased, are the ones that kind of started the church in La Puerta. And we've been meeting at their house. They've been meeting there for a long time in, like, their garage and their yard. So this is out in the yard. This is after a women's meeting where I shared some stuff on friendship, and it was a really special time. And so this is these are the main people, ladies in the church, and I think, except for the older lady in the front in the tealy, dark tealy blue dress, we ate at everybody else's house almost while we were there. I mean, they had all of us, a lot of us, they had us to their houses again, and a couple new people that we'd never been to their houses before. So that was really always special times, because those are the times that really make us feel so much a part of their family there, and helps us get to know each other better, and they can ask us questions, and we always pray for their families before we leave. And so one of the things that really blessed us on this trip, which I want to mention here because of this picture, is that there was a word that Jessica had for us before we left that said, you know, that the foundation's already been laid. And it was, I thought it was kind of cute when Jessica had that word, because I've sensed that maybe there was a part where she thought maybe she should have a few more words, but she just said, no, I see the stones, they're there, and the foundation's laid. And that was so true. I mean, to go back after last year's trip and to see the church, how it was flourishing and how they were functioning like a family and how so many people were participating in the service. It was amazing. And then to see how the relationships were building and that they really, there was so much more of a family feel in the church than the year before. So praise God. You know, God is at work with them, and it's really beautiful. This is another picture toward the end of the trip, with worshiping on Sunday morning with them. There's another picture from the other side of the church. So there's Wayne and I in the back row. And I took a picture of this because I thought it was so hysterical, because I've never seen a rooster in a tree. I'm sorry. I've never seen that in my whole life. I didn't know roosters went into trees. And that's, you know, significantly high up, not super high, but... It's right outside the church walls there. Yeah. I just cracked up. I had to take a picture of it. This is it, back in La Pinita area. We did with both churches. There were three couples from San Juan Church and then couples from the La Puerta Church. And Rolando is in part of the leadership team at La Puerta Church. And this was a dinner for married couples. And so Wayne and I spoke on some things on marriage. And there's Rosa and Manuel and Oscar in the blue shirt and a couple of lovely single ladies that served us that night. And this is also the last Sunday in La Puerta with Danny and Wayne. Wayne sharing and Danny translating. So, anyway, God really blessed the married couples thing. We had eaten in the home of one of the poorer families in the church, I would say. And there were, of the three couples that were there in the home, I think most of them weren't really following the Lord seriously. And so they all came to the marriage dinner except, which was after we had been there in their home. We invited them to the dinner, and they all came except one of the husbands. And one of the couples, they asked us after we shared, we were sitting across the table from them, and they said, "We want you to pray for us that Jesus will be the center of our marriage." So at the end of the evening, there was prayer for couples, and we prayed specifically for that, for them. So that was really a blessing. Back in San Juan, just this past Tuesday, I had prepared a craft way ahead of time for the ladies to do there. I spent hours and hours like cutting up paper and everything to make these little boxes that held three tea bags so they could use them. The ladies there are very giving in that church, and they like to have things like that in their purse to use as evangelism tools or whatever, to be able to give to somebody on the street a gift. And so they loved this craft. They were just so, so excited about it. And so that's that, and that shows you the kind of the full depth of the San Juan Church. It's a little storefront type depth, you know. It's not huge. And that's just another site. Back in the background there is just stuff that they put up to help with the sound, you know, so it doesn't bounce off all the cement walls and be like you're in a garbage can or something, you know, with the. And also behind the middle one there is where the bathroom is. So that's like out from the wall a little. So it's a little more discreet if somebody has to go to the bathroom during the service, because, you know, it's nice that they have that there. So this is just everybody doing the activity. I know, it's like, it was a way to make it more discreet for people. And that's everybody, that was the whole group with the things that they made. And it was just a really nice evening, and we had some prayer time at the end. And this is the last Sunday in San Juan. Was this Sunday night? No, Wednesday night. Yeah, that was the day before we left to come home. And so this is just worshiping in there and just different people at the church there. You can see Joy's painting it says El Camino, and it's got a heart on the wall over there on the side. Oh, this is another shot from the married couples when we were sharing with the married couples. Here's some more shots from that. Oh, this is the back of Oscar and Cielo's house. So they've been building their house, and they've got the ground floor all built, and it's really beautiful. And this was their garden. And this is back to the beginning of our trip with the games we were playing for the Valentine party. They were doing a race with Oreo cookies on a spoon, so they were going down and back without dropping their cookie. This is Armando. He lives with Joy and Pancho, as do his sister and mom right now, because the mom is renting her house in another town, and she's looking for a place to rent in San Juan, because it's so much easier for her whole family if they were to be together in San Juan. So right now, when we were in San Juan, there were seven of us in Joy and Pancho's house with one bathroom. And when we were in Rose and Manuel's house in La Pinita, there were seven of us in one house with one bathroom. But it worked. We made it work. But Armando is Joy and Pancho, and Armando are the main leadership team at the church in San Juan. So this is a picture of him. And he is getting married next January, and he's asked Wayne to do their wedding. So that was pretty exciting. So a little terrifying for Wayne, because he's got to pronounce their names at the ceremony. But we'll work on it. We have a year to work on that, almost. This is just more. This is a crazy shot from the cemetery. Their cemeteries are absolutely insane there in terms of the layouts and everything. But that where the flowers are is where the graveside, the tomb was for Ramon. There's in the La Puerta Church. There's Ricky and his little like sort of nephew, and and that's Laya, the lady in the green shirt. That's the two ladies that help serve at the dinner. Here they are cooking the ribs. They gave us barbecued spare ribs and mashed potatoes that night for the married couple's dinner. It was really cool. So then this is the last thing I want to share, which was the baptisms. We left the church the last day up in La Pinita. We ate a quick breakfast there after the service, got down to, Bucerias, which is near Vallarta and right on the coast. And we got there for the Baptist in time for the baptismal service. And these are the three people that got baptized. It was Christian. There's Pancho on the left. Left, yes, and Christian is right next to him. He was spirit filled and had accepted Christ and everything at Cristo Vive, but he had never gotten water baptized. So it was really great that he got the water baptized. And Carmen and Marco are there, and they got baptized as well. So there's the whole group from the church and that were there for the baptisms and everything. It was awesome. Oh, there's a lousy picture of me with a flag. Oh, and this is in San Juan, with the last Wednesday night thing when Wayne was sharing and Joy translating. And this is the last night Wednesday night with the whole church in San Juan. Most people. And here's some more pictures from the baptism. Wayne might share some more about that, but anyway, that was really cool. He had some really good conversation with them ahead of time that really prepared the way for their baptisms. It's on the beach that Puerto Vallarta is on, but it's further north, like on the beach, so it's in an area called Bucerias. But it's that same. From San Juan, it's about a half an hour to. So. Yeah. That's pretty much it, anyway.
Okay. Joy told me she was doing the dishes a couple days before the baptism, and the Lord spoke to her how to talk with them, and the Lord spoke to her about it was in Galatians and the fruit of the Spirit, and that the first part before that is about the works of the flesh. So what she felt the Lord was telling her is that we needed to go over the works of the flesh first before the baptism, and that's what we were sharing them, and we read that scripture and asked them which of those things they want to see buried today. They want to see that they're still having a problem with that they wanted to deal with. So they all shared different things that they were struggling with. And so we said, well, the Lord's going to take care of those things. So we went and did the baptism, and then after, we prayed for them that the fruit of the Spirit would now be present in their life. And it really, really added something to the baptism for them, that they knew that God was dealing with some issues in their life, that the baptism was going to give them the power to deal, to change, and to see the fruit of the Spirit begin to grow in their life. So that was that. I wanted to get back to one picture here, if I can find it, on the board that we made. There we go. I made this board for the church up in San Juan, and there was, what's that? La Puerta. We put a special like epoxy over it that makes it a wipe off board. So the one thing we didn't do, we had the markers were fine point versus maybe a wide point one. It would have made it a little darker for them. But the thing that they did, I didn't do this, but Ricky did this during one of the Wednesday services, is we put up the what it reads there is the pastor role and position, and then the elders' role and position, and we just asked them to tell us what they thought about those two different topics. So they actually had much more to say about the role of the pastor, because culturally that's what they're used to, that's what they have been involved in, even though they've been involved in a different leadership maybe for several years at Porta. And so, you know, we got quite a few different reactions with this. You know, there was some people that said, well, the pastor is the head of the church, and the elders are like the judges, you know. And so when some of the answers were coming forth that dealt with just the cultural answer, especially on the pastoral side, some of the people were saying, well, no, that's not true. So Ricky had to say, well, you know, we only want to know your opinions right now, and not have an argument about it, right? So, but they were all very willing to give their input, which is also a really good sign of the church feeling comfortable with each other, and it was really a nice time with that. So then after that, I got up and I started to share, you know, the idea of culture versus what the Word of God says, and tried to separate that for them so they could see that we want the culture of the kingdom versus the culture of man in this. And sometimes culture is fine, you know, if it's not in conflict at all with the Word of God. You know, culture is good, you know, because, you know, when you go to Mexico, you would expect the worship and some aspects of how they do church to be different than here, right? And so, you know, those aspects of culture are really good, but if the culture now is against what the Word of God is saying, then we need to deal with it. So we talked about some of those points, and then on Sunday I went into a lot more detail over what the leadership should be like, and talked about elders and deacons and their different roles in the church, and then I spoke to them about where they are in the process of becoming, you know, of the church having elders and deacons and that type of thing. And so the two things that I spoke to with that is, you know, are two different aspects of the process. Is one, having the men that are mature enough and have the calling to be elders and deacons, and then secondly, for the church to accept
the style of or the biblical pattern of leadership, and therefore not resist what God was doing. So there was those two aspects that are there, that because you're dealing with some cultural changes, that it takes time, and they understood that. I do want to relate a little bit to the what Robin mentioned with the word that Jessica had for us about the foundation being laid, and we really saw that in both churches, but especially in the Porta Church that is a little bit larger. We could see the principles of the foundation of the kingdom being laid and understood there, as well as if I re-listened to Jessica's word yesterday, and it also can sound like it's because it kept mentioning foundation stones, and maybe that's related to that the different people which were leaders in the church are also being laid or established. And we could see both aspects of the different ways to look at that as being true. One thing that they have done there that I wanted to mention is in the Porta is they have people be involved, and they're also a part of their worship time, is they do a reading of scripture like we do before we start, and they have different people doing that. But then before the message and before they release the children, they do what they're calling capsules. And initially what they did is they went through every book of the Bible and had somebody explain in a 5 to 10 minute time period what that book of the Bible was about. So they were giving everybody an understanding of the total Bible that was coming. The thing that they just finished up, they did the fruit of the Spirit. So they went through every time they met, somebody else in the fellowship would talk about one of the 9 aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, and then they finished up talking about it in general as the last one. So it was really cool to see, like, Abba got up and shared, you know, he's not very comfortable about being up front, but he got up and he shared about meekness, which is the way they translate goodness, was the second to the last aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. And so this idea that they did with this was all the children are there and they're all quoting the scriptures. You know, they all quote the scripture and they memorize that whole scripture every time that they did it. And that was really, really cool. So that's good for that. I wanted to share with you just one thing I shared with the church down there that comes from Matthew chapter 11. If you're able to turn to Matthew chapter 11, I wanted just to share one thing that we talked about. And this, if in a short little capsule I'm going to give you today, is I would call how to walk in the kingdom. All right. So if you read this scripture, which I don't, most of you probably know it, but if you start in verse 25 through the end of the chapter, this is the one that most people know. It says, "Come to me, all you who are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly at heart, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke, for it is easy and my burden is light." But this scripture starts off with Jesus praying to the Father, thanking the Father that he kept these things, which is the things of the kingdom, and hidden them from the wise and the prudent, and given them to babes. So this introduces the understanding of how to walk in the kingdom, is that it's not by wisdom and it's not by being prudent. And both of these aspects for all of us are good aspects. It's good to have wisdom and it's good to be prudent about things. And the point with that is that
When it comes to the kingdom, our wisdom and the way that we do things, being prudent about things and being cautious about things, are thrown out the window. Because when we walk in the Spirit, it's by the Spirit and not by our intellect. So then what Jesus does with this, he starts to introduce this idea that only the Son knows the Father. And only the Father knows the Son. And then he says that only the Son knows the Father, and anyone the Son reveals the Father, reveals the things of the Father too. So with this, I told some stories about my father and how I grew up on a small farm and what the nature of the farm was like, that it was, you know, it was hard work. You know, baling the hay, taking care of the cows in the winter. You know, we had close to 100 head of cattle at one point in the barn, and you had to feed them every day. And, you know, we didn't milk a lot of them because it was livestock we were raising. But it was hard work. And in the summertime, it was very hard work taking care of baling the hay and taking care of all that. But even though it was hard work, the burden for me was light. You know, I'm just a teenager doing whatever my father is asking me to do, and really the burden was on the father, because my father had to take care of the bills. He had to take care of the worry of when it was going to rain and how we're going to do the hay and when do we cut it down. And you know, I had food on the table every day, and you know, life was good for me. You know, I mean, I didn't have to worry about the bills or how the farm was running, or you know worry about the gas in the car, because when I needed it, I just went down and he filled it up. And you know, it was work, but it wasn't my work. You see? And that's exactly what Jesus is telling us here. He's saying, if you are labored and heavy laden with all of your work, all of your fears, all of your frustrations, if you're burdened with all of your things, lay them down. And then he's saying, take my yoke, which is Jesus' work, right? We're tied together with him, with our work together. And then the burden becomes light, because Jesus is the one with the responsibility. I just have to do what he's asking me to do. So this is the way that we walk in the kingdom. We walk in the kingdom as a child, as a babe, and we do and listen to what our Father is telling us. So this is the beauty of this, is that when I went to college, I talked with a lot of other young men, and most of the ones I talked with didn't like their father. Matter of fact, a lot of them hated their father, and they had a lot of attitudes and hurts from their father. But I didn't have that. I actually, when I first went to college, I went home every weekend just so I could work on this project we were doing together. And so the point is that I knew my father. I knew what he was like. And the reason is because I worked with him. I did what he asked, and we did things together. And so this is the aspect of what's happening with us in Christ, is that as we work with Christ, we get to know him. And then it says that Christ reveals his Father to us. So there's this aspect, if you feel that you don't know Christ, you don't know God, there is an aspect of this that you need to begin to yoke yourself with him and begin to do what he's talking with you about. You know, one of the stories I told about my dad is the way he woke me up in the morning. And he would come in, you know, I was the sleeping teenager in the bed. You know how that is. They want to stay in bed. And my dad would come in and say, "Hey, it's time to get up. You know, we got to get some breakfast." And then he started telling me what we had to do that day, right? So, you know, we got to go, you know, we got to go get the tractor here and take it there and maybe build this, or we need to work on this with, you know, with whatever in the barn. And you know, what happened was I started to think about what we had to do. And so my mind started to think about, well, if we're going to do that, we probably need to do this first. And then we need to set this up for that. And the next thing you know, I'm wide awake because I'm thinking about what my father wanted to do. And so I realized the other day that one of my favorite times in my day is waking up in the morning. And I wake up in the morning and God starts to speak and talk with me about the day, and the next thing you know, I'm waking up and ready to go. And so there's this aspect of work, working with people that you get to know them. And this is the way it is with God. Is that he wants to work, he wants us to work with him and join him in what he's doing. And this is how we walk in the kingdom. It's not complicated, is it? We just have to be children and walk with him. And as children have this faith that doesn't worry about how smart I am or how prudent I am, but just do what the Father is asking. Is such a freeing thing for us all, just to enjoy the kingdom and enjoy how we're walking with our God. So I appreciate, Robin and I both appreciate being a part of what's happening with these churches and in Mexico in general. And we do not take for granted that we're sent out and supported in prayer and in financially to be able to do what we have been doing. And in the process, we see that God is building something. And what he's building, we know, is his church, is his kingdom. You know, it says Jesus in Matthew says, you know, it's that he will build his church. And so we go down and work with him and work with the people that are there, and we see God produce something that is beyond what we would plan or do. You know, if it was up to us, we would do things a lot differently. And yet the timing of the Lord is different than ours, so it may take longer than what you think. But after God accomplished what he's doing, you see it's far better than what you would have ever done. And you know, we would scale or think about how to build the church completely different than what God is doing. So the word we had today is be patient. You know, to be patient with the process, to be patient with what God is doing with us. And that's something we've had to learn, and you guys have seen, to be patient with what God is building down in Mexico. Because there's cultural changes that they needed to embrace and deal with. As the church is being established. But in that process, we see the freedom that is coming to the churches there that is far different than their culture. Because most of their culture, especially with influence from the Catholic Church and also influence to the Mexico culture, historical culture to begin with, they tend to be a people that relate to slavery more than freedom. And with that process, there's a breaking of that culture so that the people do feel free and not feel like they need to control something
And with the other church, with Jose and Gia, we've seen this happen time and time again, where there was that was more of a strong man, what I call a strong man church, and the people, when they saw weakness in the strong man, then would rebel and try to make what they wanted. And here we're seeing the cultural changes in that they're feeling like they're understanding that they're operating like a family, and how a family is they work together and not in competition and not being lorded over. So as you see, it takes time for even for us and for them to break away from cultural ideas and begin to embrace the principles of the kingdom. And the principles of the kingdom, when they come and are evident there, they're far above anything that we would have done in the church and tried to plan and set up for them. But now the environment is beginning to, the foundation has been laid of this different foundation, and the people are coming in. And even though they may think they're missing something by not having a one-man pastor, they're also coming in and experiencing the freedom of what it means to be part of the body of Christ. And so the people are happy. They're content. They're being pressed to grow up, and some of them are resistant, but other ones are embracing the understanding of becoming mature in Christ and having the fruit of the Spirit grown in their life. And it's influencing out to how their families are being structured and how the men and the women and the children relate to one another. And it's amazing to see Jesus said that the little bit of what is the word when you put in bread yeast is begins to spread through the loaf is exactly what you see. Is the kingdom of God is like that yeast, and the principles then begin to spread through, and they spread out from the church into their families and into the individuals, and so they all start to realize they're free and behave in a different way. And so this process of the yeast spreading is there's a time factor involved with that. It's not like we said one message that is given and then everybody has got it and they run off and they're happy. You know, it's a process, which we've experienced here too, is the process of teaching, and then the revelation comes, and then that spreads in your life in one area and then has to spread to another area as the revelation continues to come and God speaks to us. So our loving Heavenly Father is patient, and that's a wonderful thing, with all of us and with all of them. And we just continue to grow and continue to keep ourselves in the right environment before the Lord so that He can change our hearts and we can become like Him. So thank you, Lord, for our time together today. We just continue to want to serve you with all our heart, Lord, and to share the good news of your gospel to our neighbors and friends, even in this time of fear that's all around us with the virus, Lord. I pray that we would be full of faith and full of joy and be able to express your goodness, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Lord, we just thank you that you are such a good Father, and that we are your children. The greatest ministry and gift that we have is being your child. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.